Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Okay, let's go.
Mully at Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Oh, my God. What a big week, David. What a big week. Trade deadline, Bears training camp. It's all upon us.
Welcome back. I thought you meant last week. You were gone. You're rested. You're all ready to go. You come back. And you're right, there is a lot going on as you return here today. Welcome back. And
thank you, buddy.
Buckle up, because for the Cubs, it's going to be a very interesting week, up and down and back and forth and this report and that report. Hold on, because it's going to be quite a ride. And for the White Sox, you wake up this morning, you win a game against the Brewers in the World Series preview, and better yet, Eloy's back.
That's
Eloy's back today.
Yeah, yeah. I thought you were going to say Adam Frazier was traded.
No,
I
didn't know. Keep it positive.
I didn't know where you were going.
No, you
with
have
that.
To celebrate what you have, not what you didn't get.
You got to celebrate what you have. And Eloy coming back is the power bat returning, and that is a glorious and wondrous moment for the White Sox. And really pleased, just really pleased that that is going on. And, you know, by the way, Louis Robert is behind him now. He's coming. By the way, Grandal, I thought the Grandal stuff was very interesting. He said that he can't get over how much better he feels and how good. All that tells me is that this knee injury was there for a while and that he was really hurting earlier in the year, as we knew he was.
Makes you wonder.
Makes you wonder how bad that was and when it really kind of went on him. And if he's feeling better, that would indicate to me that he was feeling pretty bad with that knee.
And I like the fact that he's considering himself a fast healer, and he's looking forward to getting back in action. And he was running before the game, so that he looked better than I would have expected him to look at this stage of the recovery. And so, look, they're all over baseball. They're going to be teams that are making deals, trying to get better, fortify their rosters with a little bit more oomph or punch. I don't know that anybody's going to go out there and get the caliber of hitter or player that the White Sox have arriving today and around the way. In Eloy and Luis Robert, the White Sox are helping their roster in a way that few teams in baseball can say, okay, we're going to do better than that. I don't know how they can look at this anyway, but boy, it's going to be a fun week. And I don't know how far away Robert is. What's the timetable? A couple weeks?
I think he's 2 or 3 weeks away. If you're being just, you know, completely straightforward with the thing, and you need that time.
But that outfield's pretty stacked now.
That outfield's playing pretty well. There's no doubt about it. They've kind of managed to get through it. Now, you know, the only thing is you don't want that sigh of relief, right? You want everybody now saying,
sure,
here we all go. You don't want anybody saying, oh, God, okay, he's back, we can take it easy, because you can't.
I just want to know, is Ozzy going to Kansas City to pick up Eloy at the airport like he said? You know, he'd get him at Midway or O'Hare. Just get him here, get him back. We talked to the Charlotte Knights hitting coach Chris Johnson Saturday and inside the clubhouse. He said that he was ready. You got the sense then the White Sox organizationally felt like it was time. Sooner than we thought, Molly, right? Didn't we think right around beginning of August, and maybe that was optimistic, and here we are, the end of July, and he's coming back.
Yeah, I think it's kind of on the time frame. You're right. Maybe a week or two early, but I think he's another guy that is a quick healer. And I think the issue with him was that it was an injury that we don't see very often in baseball. In fact, I don't think we've seen it in baseball. It was such a bizarre injury that occurred. So hopefully, hopefully he takes it easy and he doesn't fall into those problems. But
it will help if he remains
if he's not in the outfield,
the designated hitter, as he apparently will be tonight in the lineup. Tony La Russa already announced that.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, I'm not going to argue. I want him to be happy, and I want him to play with the kind of the kind of degree of happiness, the verve, if you will, that he brings to the game.
Happiness is great. Health is better.
I agree. I want him healthy, and that is the priority. But if they want to roll him out in the outfield, I'm not gonna argue.
Hide the glove.
Okay.
I'd hide the glove.
Yeah, I know you would. You've been saying that for a long time. They managed to get a game in Milwaukee yesterday, so that's good news. They had lost the first two games, and they lost them in kind of weird fashion, I would say. And so finally, and listen, the Brewers are playing about as well as they've been playing. They are very good at this time, and they won seven in a row, I believe. And the Sox stopped that yesterday. Lance Lynn single-handedly stopped that yesterday. A great performance, both on the mound and at the plate. One of the funnier things you're ever going to see.
Yeah.
Guy goes down 0-2 in the count. And I don't know Brandon Woodruff. I don't know what he was thinking. But he throws another fastball at him. And he catches it. And he gets himself a nice two-run single. A very unexpected, shocking in a way, right? First hit since, 2017? First RBI since 2015. I mean, good God, it's 2021.
That's Shohei Lin.
Pretty astounding. Yeah, that was very funny.
Yeah, they needed the runs, as it turned out, and that was the game. If you were going to lose two out of three, you wanted to win the Sunday night showcase. You wanted to win the one going into Monday with a little bit of a positive feeling.
Yeah.
You know, Friday night was weird. The eruption, the ejections on Saturday, the review that took forever. And it was a very strange game, the way with Yoan Moncada not touching home plate and that whole controversy that followed. But and then Sunday was a good one to get.
I thought Jason did a really good job on that play because I know he didn't touch the base, but he was signaled safe. And when he turned, you see him turn around and look, and the umpire's calling him safe. Why would he go back and touch the base? And he might have made it back to touch the base, but he didn't. So,
well, the umpire made the safe gesture. You're right. So
he called him safe. So the player, therefore, shouldn't have to go back and touch the bag if he's called safe. I'm just saying that happened. And then they're supposed to have 20 seconds. Listen, he didn't step on the plate. That's his fault. I'm not saying that he stepped on the plate and they made a bad call. He did not step on the plate. He said that he thought he had.
Yeah.
And surely when he turned and saw the safe sign, he knew he could just go to the – he could safely go to the dugout. That's the only thing that was weird. Plus, they get a mound visit, and then they decide after the next guy's at bat – I mean, this is like 6 minutes later or something. Oh, we're going to do a review.
The amount of time between pitches – underscored just this pace of play issue that Major League Baseball is dealing with and we're all dreading and are suffering through. But I'll say this, what Jason Benetti pointed out in the booth was how this example, everything you said, I think I totally agree with in terms of how it all went down, but it exposed a loophole because what the Brewers did wasn't wrong.
No.
Because what they did was they didn't have a review, they made an appeal, which was within their right, and then the clock started after they made the appeal. So then you have that time built in after that, and they made the appeal because they felt like somebody was in the dugout. Hey, he didn't touch home plate, which isn't reviewable. But after the appeal, I think you can look at it, and that's why it took as long as it did. And then they went back to New York to get an explanation.
Right, they had
make
to go
sure
back.
They were fine.
And yeah, is this right? He didn't step on the plate.
Okay, oh my gosh!
And listen, he didn't step on the plate. I'm just saying, the minute the guy calls him safe, he knows he doesn't have to go back and step on the plate. He can go to the dugout because he's been called safe.
For all you youngsters at home, make sure you touch home plate.
Well, there you go.
I was waiting for Steve Stone to tell us that.
Yeah. No, that is fair enough. I mean, it was a wild weekend. And, you know, as you mentioned, Tony getting ejected and, you know, protecting Tim Anderson, who's ejected. And I don't know.
I loved after the game, though. Tony La Russa asked about the Tim Anderson situation. He says, well, I wasn't really around to deal with that.
Yeah, yeah.
I was already launched.
Yeah, he was in the dugout in the top of the eighth when he got launched, Tim. So there you go. Look, it was a weird weekend, but all I want is for the White Sox to win series. They didn't win the series, but they didn't get swept, and they came back and got a game. And my God, there were tons of Chicago people that went up to Milwaukee for the event, and it's a fun place to go. And I'm glad that everyone enjoyed themselves. It would have been, you know, had we come home on the ferry, maybe I could have gone. We went out on the ferry and then drove home. But there is a ferry.
Are you regretting not doing that? Could you have figured it out, you know, a way to go to the game?
And it then, occurred to me.
Yeah, that's a long day.
But it wasn't really the length of the day. It was kind of the, you know, the trying to get accommodation. It's something you needed to have organized earlier.
Yeah.
By the time I looked at it, it was a little bit late for that.
And imagine getting back after a night game as late as that would have been.
That would have been fun. We have been to Miller Park to see the White Sox. I think it was an exhibition game. But the whole crew, we went to a Sox game at Miller Park. It was fun. It's a fun place to go. It's a great ball yard.
What a city to be in last week.
About it,
NBA championship, a parade, and then the World Series preview.
How about Aaron Rodgers, NBA champion? The minority owner is an NBA champion.
Yeah.
And he referenced the NBA him and Devontae Adams both sent out the same photo of Michael and Scotty. And did you see Tim Grover's reaction? He was like, hey, those two guys won 6 titles together.
Yeah, they're a long way from that.
You're not going for a last dance. You're going for a first dance.
Yeah.
But the Vegas odd makers have taken the Green Bay Packers off the board because they think that Aaron Rodgers is going to retire before he reports to camp, or he's going to retire rather than report to camp.
That's the word. We'll find out tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow's the day when Packers are supposed to report for the veterans. Bears have the rookies in camp at Halas Hall today. They reported over the weekend. And we'll hear from Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy tomorrow.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Find out what's going on. They made a trade about that.
Saw that Saturday night.
Yeah, they pulled off the big trade and they brought in nothing. They got rid of a guy.
When you look up the term addition by subtraction, you'll find the Anthony Miller deal.
There you go. Should have cut him. If you really just swapped late round picks, you should have made a statement and just cut the guy when he got in a fight after you told him not to, right?
That would have been a stronger statement than waiting until the eve of training camp, essentially, to unload a guy that you've been trying to trade for months.
Yeah, it's just madness. They thought he had value, and I guess they learned differently. No value there. Have you watched the Olympics? Are you watching the Olympics? Do you care enough about the Olympics to justify us having our buddy Bobby Vassilopoulos on it?
Well, I watched the basketball game because it was on at a convenient time. And I think that there was some interest there once you saw what was going on. So I watched the second half of that.
Did you know the result before you watched it?
No.
Oh, I did. And I regretted knowing the result because as I watched it, I was like, they're going to win this. What the hell? How can they lose this game? And then.
No, I did not know.
Oh, boy.
The result.
The result was out very early.
Yeah, but it was on one of the platforms. It's somewhat confusing to watch the Olympics these days. And I sound probably very old and naive there, but I think that it seems more complicated than it should be to find exactly what you want to watch at the right time.
Well, they've decided to put men's basketball exclusively on Peacock Live.
I don't like that.
And that is a premium channel.
It's an app.
It's an app. You have to pay for it.
I have it.
I have it too.
Were you watching? But
yes.
No, I didn't watch the game live. I watched it on NBC, I believe.
I did watch it live.
But I did know the result.
Yeah.
Well, if you had the result and you watched it anyway, shame on you because that was bad.
Well, I wanted to see how it happened.
Yeah.
The stat that they were up, was 7 with 4 minutes to play?
It was ridiculous.
Like, how does
they had an 18-2 run or something, and they took the lead. And then, the big sequence was, it comes down, they hit a three, France hits a three, Fournier, a guy makes a diving play, saves the ball, he knocks down a three, so they go up 2. U.S. comes down, misses a three. I think it was Durant misses a three. Gets the ball. They get the rebound. Durant misses another three. Maybe it was Zach LaVine. Then Zach LaVine misses a three. Then they have a corner three from Drew Holiday, and he misses a three.
They missed
four,
a ton. Yeah,
open looks. 3-point yeah. shots. And I guess Pop is on the sideline screaming at him to just score a bucket, right? Just get a basket.
Go for the tie. Right?
Well, yeah. It's painful to watch that game because they played like a bunch of guys that met in Tokyo and said, let's go ahead and let's see what we got here.
They don't look like a team. I mean, what's great, and we'll talk to Bobby Vassilopoulos about it. He was at the game. He covered it. He sent me a photo of Zach LaVine, who looked wrecked. I mean, they all look wrecked and just exhausted. I mean, just like they're you know, trying. It's just for whatever reason, I think David's right. Maybe they didn't have enough preparation time, whatever it is. But they have definitely let us know that they're not the team to beat in this tournament, despite being 12.5-point favorites over France.
Yeah, so when Greg Popovich is asked after the game, and I know he's Pop being Pop, but yeah. And he tells how insulted he feels of people. Don't they realize how much the world has closed the gap? Okay, fine. We get it. But you know what? You still have the greatest player in the world, and you still have the best collection of talent in the world. You shouldn't have lost three of your first four games in that setting on that stage.
Is Durant the best player in the world? Is that what you're implying? Because guess what? I think he had 10 points and 5 fouls and he fouled out.
No,
I was sitting there like, wow, he's got 5 buckets and 5 fouls.
But as you would Steve Kerr like to revisit that comment, by the way? Because I'll tell you what, Michael Jordan would have never lost a game to France in the Olympics.
Well, that's true.
Take Kevin Durant off that team. I bet you put Michael Jordan today on that team with a 1 month ramp up, him working out. Jordan
while
today,
smoking a cigar.
Maybe while smoking a cigar and definitely while having a tequila when he took a break. They win that game with Michael Jordan.
Mike goes to the sideline and
Jordan would have shot better than 1-for-6.
I wasn't going there.
He was 1-for-6 from 3-point land. So enough that he's the best player on the planet.
He's the best player on the planet. He is the best player in the world right now. We're dealing in 2021. Thank you. We're in the Olympics.
I saw the funniest thing on Twitter. They had a picture of him in a France jersey high-fiving with Evan Fournier. Like, they took – the idea is he can't beat France, so now he's going to join them.
Before the end of the Olympics.
It's a Golden State reference, right. I believe. But that was very funny. I appreciate the effort to make fun of it.
The preoccupation with the 3-point shot is a very NBA thing. Yeah. And I understand that's the international game, perhaps, but – they, as you point out, they were settling for shots they didn't need to settle for. And that doesn't look like a team that's well-coached or very interested, and now they're, you know, off to a bad start.
You just blame Pop.
I kind of did. Well, is that ridiculous?
No, it's not. I mean, we'll ask Bobby V. I mean, he's there, for God's sake. And we'll do that at 6:40. Right now, we got to get to the 5 at 5. Oh, it's glorious to be back here on this show. I missed everyone so much, but I did enjoy my vacation. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
It's 5 at 5
with Mully and Haw,
where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw starts now.
Are you excited at the prospect of Eloy Jimenez returning to the White Sox lineup today in Kansas City? How immediate of an impact are you expecting?
Oh, I'm extremely excited, and I don't think Eloy could possibly live up to the immediacy and the impact that I have planned for him. So I'm being honest about it. Like, if he gets 3 dingers tonight, I just smile knowingly. I have such high aspirations for him, and I really am expecting him to be that sort of trigger man that is going to lift this thing to a different level. They don't hit home runs. They've had a struggle with that, and that's supposed to be one of the things they do. And he's the, you know, right-handed bat that's going to really take them to another level. I got a hard time sort of limiting the expectations that I have. They're sky high, no question about that.
It's hard to imagine, as it pointed out, a team getting another bat with as much impact potentially as Eloy Jimenez will provide the White Sox. So I think you start there, because this is the week where teams are adding for the big playoff push and the postseason run to get into contention or to secure their spot there. The White Sox, though, you know, this is the beauty of it. They're getting Eloy Jimenez back. There's excitement that is surrounding that promotion and his return. And they don't need him. They really don't need him right now. They need him in October. They need him for the next time they play the Brewers, which, by the way, 4 weeks from today, beginning game one of the World Series. 3 months from today,
yes.
Game one of the World Series, October 26th. So
get your tickets now.
Well, I mean, that is what you're thinking when you get Eloy back. So when in 3 months, when Eloy is starting game one of the World Series, you'll know that this, you know, journey has an ending. And I think that's kind of the idea, is bring him back to fortify your lineup as a World Series caliber offense.
And we have a texter right now saying Sox can't beat teams over 500. Hey, they're bum slayers. Keep it up. And then you get everybody back, and guess what? You're going to be a better team thanks to this guy's return.
Yeah,
significantly better.
You are. You can't really evaluate that weekend based on a lineup without Robert, without Eloy. You're missing a lot without Grandal, who's going to come back as well. Look, and as far as Eloy's impact, I think that people will, you know, the expectations are going to be soaring as indicated by your expectations. But I do think that, you know, let's wait to see him gradually get better. You know, we talked to Chris Johnson at Charlotte, said his swing has not changed because of the injury. It said he looks like the same guy that was, you know, pre-injury, which is always a concern. You don't know how he's going to come back.
Right.
His timing is going to take some time to develop and to get better. So you want to be patient, but, boy, you can't help but be excited, because this is a guy who plays with the enthusiasm that any team could use, and certainly with a bat that the Sox eventually are going to need.
Well, I think his bats today, tomorrow, and the next day against Kansas City are all going to be like must-see television. If you're not tuned in, you're going to want to be watching on Twitter, and hopefully somebody will say, like, okay, Aloy's coming up the next half inning, and you're going to want to get back in front of the television and see those at bats. The other thing,
they should break into the Olympics, all platforms,
all local channels.
God,
I've never anticipated to your point in the first segment, David, I've never anticipated a tweet from all the guys we follow that cover the White Sox as much as I am today. Is he going to be in left field or is he going to be the DH? Which one? He's
DH.
Going to be in the lineup.
He's DH.
I think Tony said DH. Yeah.
He did LaRusso, say DH? Okay. Well, I mean, the other question is, at what point, Vaughn, you don't want to take at-bats away from Vaughn. So, like, and could Vaughn, who, you know, we debated for a while, play in the outfield as it is, could he actually move over to right field if you were going to put Aloy back and left?
I don't know about that, Dustin. That's a really good question and a really good point. But look at Andrew Vaughn's splits for July. And you look at his numbers in July compared to some other hitters we put on a very high plateau
he's been
in Chicago.
Fantastic. He's been fantastic. Here's the bottom line.
But Dustin, right field, you need an arm, right? Yeah. Right field, you got to be able to throw a guy out. It's just a big ask.
Let me ask you a question.
Score another. The throw to the plate's too late on Zavala, and the Sox have struck for three in the second. Lance Lynn's first hit in almost 4 years drives in a pair.
That's what Lance Lynn's two-run single in the second inning sounded like last night, courtesy of ESPN. Where does it rank among the fun moments this White Sox season? Won't you miss moments of glory like that when the MLB goes to a universal DH?
Not at all. Not at all. I'll answer that second part first because that is the easiest part of the question. I came to that conclusion shortly after Lance Lynn's fun moment at the plate, but when Michael Kopech went to the plate carrying a bat, I'm like, what is he doing up there? Please don't pull your hamstring running to first. Get out of harm's way quickly. I just don't know why the White Sox have to send quality pitchers up to the plate. Lance Lynn, that was fun. Maybe not as much fun as seeing him celebrate a strikeout on the mound because he's always fun to watch. But as far as big moments, that was last night. That was probably the most fun moment of the night, although Billy Hamilton putting a bucket on his head might be a close second. That was fun as well. The White Sox are just fun overall to watch. But Lance Lynn, good for him coming through at the plate because if you're going to have to bat and they're not going to have a universal DH, you might as well make use of your weapon.
How about the battery ball the Sox played last night with Sebi Zavala getting a hit and driving in a run, and then you got Lance Lynn coming up, and he knocks in two. Come on. That was fantastic. I love the idea that the game is played differently in the two leagues, and that you started talking about on the broadcast they mentioned that you had to send Moncada there because the pitcher's up next. That's National League Baseball. You got to take advantage. I love that kind of stuff. I love the different game that's played between the two leagues. I think it's just tons of fun. And I can't help it. I get how dangerous it is, and I know you don't want any pitchers getting hurt at the plate, and I understand that we've seen guys pulling hamstrings and getting legs blown up on their way to first base this year. I get it. I've seen the horrible collisions. I understand. But at the same time, one of the fun moments of the season was when Dylan Cease, they go 3-for-3 in a game. It was hysterical. I mean, it was just like, wow, this guy really can hit. I kind of like the idea that you get to hit every once in a while, and I kind of like the idea. The whole carnival atmosphere, the circus of it. You know, Lance Lynn's a big dude. And
he's big guy.
He's rumbling down to first base. Who doesn't want to watch that? Who doesn't want to see that? That's great stuff. As long as everyone stays healthy. And I get it. The money's too much, and you got to worry about injury. But those are glorious moments. That's not since, Tractor Trailer managed to return an interception or fumble or whatever the hell that was with seven guys running around him. Have we seen a big man moving like that, so I'm all for it.
That was much more fun, though, by the way, if we're putting those two things up. They're both in the category of fun. There's no doubt about that.
That's right.
It was also, like, that two-run single produced as many runs as the Sox had produced in two games. You want to talk about the definition of a statement game? That was a statement game last night for them, the Sox. And you can tell by the way La Russa managed that game that it was a statement game.
Yes.
Now, Molly, I'm with you to the point that ahead of interleague play, I like the idea of the separate rules. And then you get to the World Series and you're seeing how teams deal with those. But when once you put games that count and you're changing, the roster construction is different when you have a DH versus not having a DH. So when you have games that count and when they open, some teams open the year playing interleague baseball. That's where this whole thing, you got to go one set of rules. You can't have two sets of rules when games in the middle of the season count the same. So, yes, there needs to be a universal DH. And I was with David, too. Watching that game last night, when Michael Kopech came up to bat, I'm like, I like Michael Kopech a lot. Like, this does that. He looked uncomfortable up there. It just, the whole thing just was like, ooh, no, just stand there. Don't even swing. Just go up there and put walk. The bat, and put either strike out looking or
and
walk.
He could
don't
go.
Even
and,
do anything.
And when he made contact, it looked like he paused and hesitated. He didn't know, I have to run to first base. And then he started running to first base.
That just didn't look good.
Those are tough questions to answer because it's like, what do I say to that?
Just a glorious day here in a friendly compound.
Rizzo swings and drives one to deep right field. This is gone! Back-to-back home runs for the Cubs. First Bryant, now Rizzo. 3-0 Cubs over the Diamondbacks.
You heard it right here on The Score. Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant homered in the same game yesterday, making the Cubs 20-6, including 2-0 in the playoffs, when they pulled that feat dating back to when they started playing together in 2015. Do you think that's the last time we'll see it in Chicago?
Wow, that's a negative thing to think about. But, I mean, we are at the trade deadline, and Buster Olney, I believe it was 8:47 last night. Not that I was marking down the time or anything, but I believe that's when his report, basically, he broke up the Cubs. He's just trading everybody on the Cubs, and I believe Rizzo is going to Boston, and the Dodgers are taking on the closer, Kimbrel, and where did they have Baez going? Is he going to
Mets?
The Mets.
Mets.
Okay, that makes
or
sense.
Bryant.
Bryant or Baez,
yeah.
One of the two.
Mets are going to be in either those two or Trevor Story.
Yeah. All right. So there you go. They're trading. They're trading away their team, and that's the end of that. And it was, you know, it was a little harsh to hear that after seeing them earlier in the day. So it's, one way or another, I don't think that's happening again. I just don't. I think that by the end of the week, one or both are going to be gone, and you're not going to see them on the same team ever again.
Yeah, maybe it's tough to accept because of what it represents in the nostalgia tour, but it's what we've been talking about for the past month at least, and especially as we get closer to Friday. I just look forward to the clarity of the situation, the finality of the long goodbye, because it has been, you know, I think to the players, it has to have been emotionally exhausting. I talked to people, you know, surrounding the Cubs last week, and the toll that is taken on some of these guys is becoming more and more obvious to those around them. And I think that as we get closer to Friday, those are interesting possibilities that Buster only speculated about. You talk to a lot of other people, they'll have other potential trade scenarios. John Heyman, looking forward to talking to him at 7:20. But it's pretty safe to say that going back-to-back is something that you won't see again at Wrigley Field with Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant. But I don't know if both of them will be ex-Cubs on Saturday. It's going to be tough to pull off if you're Jed Hoyer, even though there might be a market out there. You don't want to just give these guys away. You don't want to just make a deal because you feel compelled to and you're tired of the long goodbye and how exhausting how exhausted you feel mentally. You can't go into this week tired mentally, emotionally, or any other way if you're Jed Hoyer. You've got to look at every possibility with a set of fresh eyes and make an evaluation. And you can't just make a trade for the sake of making a trade and unloading these kind of assets.
Well, there are four games against the Reds this week. three night games and a day game getaway gay on, and hopefully it's not getaway day for many reasons, on Thursday. Unfortunately, yeah, probably. This is probably the last time we see it, but maybe we'll see it during the week. But I will go out on this limb right this second. I think it's more likely today at 5:38 in the morning that Rizzo is traded to the Red Sox than Bryant is traded to the Mets. I think that makes a lot of sense for everybody involved. And I think it's even one of those deals where they say to Anthony Rizzo, listen, we still like you. We still love you. We still want you back. Go to Boston. Go play in the postseason again. Tip your cap out there to where you were at one point in your career. We're going to get something back that hopefully helps us 3 or 4 years down the line. Can you do that for us?
And then we're going to give you that.
And then
$70 million.
He's coming back?
And then he comes back.
I don't know about
for,
that.
For $70 million?
No. He comes back for nothing.
I don't know why you'd say that.
He's got nowhere else to go.
What would make him want to come back?
He's got nowhere else to go.
Because his best.
Let me rephrase the question, witness. Why would the Cubs want him to come back?
Oh, boy. Now you.
If they're trading him now to get something in return. And you're going to bring back a...
Who's playing first base? You wouldn't waste Chris Bryant at first base.
Somebody who doesn't have a bad back that you worry about as he enters his mid-30s?
Matt Duffy's the future at first
what
base?
If they're hoping, no. What if they were hoping to infect everyone with the Delta variant?
I'm taking a little bit of time here to say this because I know that these questions could go on and on each and every day.
What is the bigger story entering training camp, the quote-unquote trade of Anthony Miller, or the fact that Tariq Cohen begins the season on the physically unable to perform list? Can you please explain your answer?
We'll get back to the Rizzo thing because that's fun. The bigger deal is Tariq Cohen. The bigger deal is where is Tariq Cohen in his recovery? Look, Anthony Miller, somebody that anybody should have gone into the season counting on. They shouldn't go into any game counting on Anthony Miller. They learned that the hard way last year, the year before that. Tremendous potential. Maybe a change of scenery will help him. He can get open. He can make plays. He can even catch the ball on occasion when he has to catch the ball. But too often he was a palms up guy. You know, what's up? What happened? Not me. And I think that's the problem. That's why he's an ex-Bear. That's why this was a long time coming. Tariq Cohen, on the other hand, he can help you win healthy. He can make your offense different. He can make you more dangerous down the field if you learn how to finally utilize him properly. And with David Montgomery, with Allen Robinson, dare I say, with Justin Fields, there are some possibilities there athletically, explosively, that the Bears offense hasn't had in a while collectively. So I'm excited about seeing what Tariq Cohen can do when he comes back. So I'm not surprised he's starting the season on the pup list. We've seen this happen before. That's where they have to do it. But definitely that is more newsworthy than getting rid of Anthony Miller.
Yeah, I think that Tariq Cohen is a big part of their season. And I think that their hope was that he could also be their kick returner as well as the punt returner. I think that there is a role for him in the offense, but also he's a big part of special teams. And I think that they were going to try to expand that role on special teams. And obviously, they don't have a return guy right now, and they've got a tryout session going on. And if you could get one guy to do both things, you could save a roster spot on game day. That's a big deal. That is a really big deal. I don't know. I Anthony Miller, that was a disaster. That's another trade-up disaster. Add him to the list, and there is a growing list. And, the thought just went through my head. I watch a lot of Ohio State football, as you well know. I have a lot of time for Justin Fields. I think they got lucky and also made a great move. I couldn't believe he was available. But it did go through my head. My God, what if he can't play? What if they end up with another trade-up player that is no damn good, Mitch Trubisky?
The thought went through my head.
I know I'm not tying Anthony Miller together.
It's not even 6 a.m.
It just went through my head no.
Cannot kill my
buzz.
Do
they know what the hell they're doing? Because I'm so excited about Justin Fields, but the thought did cross the mind. And that is the worst case scenario, period, end of story.
Have some more coffee.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm going to get on board with that one.
I'm not on board with it. I said the thought crossed my head.
But I'm saying I don't even want to think about it. Okay. You're probably right, but sorry. I don't even want to think about it. Here's the deal. It's Cohen because it's always about moving forward. Anthony Miller is no longer part of the Bears. And Cohen is, and so that's why it's more important. But is the wide receiver room better without Anthony Miller? And to your guys' point in the first segment of the show, if it took this long, then were they behind the scenes trying to rehabilitate the guy and he just was not able to get to the point that they felt comfortable? Because that's the only thing that makes sense. Otherwise, the statement could have been made that we're not going to put up with these kind of shenanigans.
Those are really good questions.
And the wide receiver, the answer is the wide receiver room is not any better. It's got to be worse, unless he was that big of a weed in that room, that he was just he was a weed strangling plants.
Briefly, though, it depends on what you determine to be a good room, or that what makes a good room. Is dependability factored into the equation along with athletic ability? Because if you're talking about just guys that you can count on to perform their assignments without having any doubts about whether or not they're going to do that, then it would be better off.
Let me also answer that question. You know, you asked the same sort of question, the same family of question last time, where you assume things that are not true.
How bad of a loss was the U.S. men's Olympic basketball team's flop to the French, their first Olympic loss since 2004? What's wrong with this team, and where's your confidence they can win gold now?
Flop to the French. I love the alliteration. That's fantastic. Look, they have been sending us a message. They have made it loud and clear. We are not good enough. We're not a very good team. We don't know how to play together. They have been screaming that to us when the exhibition season started, losing a couple games. You don't see that. To go into the tournament, their first game, look, they're going to get through the round, right? Who do they play next? They play Iran or Iraq or, I mean,
Iran.
Is it Iran? And then who else? They play
the Czech Republic.
The Czech Republic. Okay, come on. Are they going to get knocked out of this tournament? I hope not. So they should be able to get into the single elimination. They're not going to win the group. France will probably win the group because they can beat those teams as well. So, I mean, there is an outside chance that they could fail in the before they hit the elimination round. But I think that the odds of them winning a championship or a gold medal are significantly low. You're not just going to get better. I mean, you know, Drew Holiday basically came from the NBA Finals to the starting lineup of the U.S. national basketball team. What the hell? And we talked about him being disappointing at different points of this finals run. You know, guy could play at home better than he could play on the road. That's not terribly surprising. This team is sending us a message. They're no damn good. They're just not the right team. They're not the right mix. They're not the right blend. They really struggle at the end of games. We've seen that a couple times. Somebody has got to – I was sitting there wondering, hey, why doesn't Dame Lillard just start knocking down some half-court shots? I mean, that's
Well, at some point, he agreed. He started taking them.
Well, someone should.
And Zach LaVine fits into that mix, and you thought he might be able to emerge, and maybe he still will take a step forward and be one of those guys, because – that role is open, is vacant right now. Somebody who steps forward and makes the impact. You know, it's so funny because, you know, we see it all the time. Basketball is not just a game or a roster. The best roster always wins. You need the chemistry. You need the mix. You need people who fit together well and play together better. And I think right now you look at the U.S. team, and they do look like a team that hasn't played together very long, that they sort of met in Tokyo. Thank goodness Holiday made the trip. He was a guy that looked like he was in mid-season, late-season form, and he played as well as anybody in the fourth quarter there, and he had some big moments. I don't have very much confidence that they're going to win the gold medal after seeing not only yesterday, but they have been sending this message since they arrived in the four games that we have seen them play, even though the first three didn't count. Yesterday was just a reminder that something's missing, and you just don't know what it is. It's hard to put your finger on it, but you just know that you're not watching a team that so far,
yep,
is special.
Yeah, they're not special, that's for sure. Do I want them to win the – sure, I of course I want them to win the gold, or I want them to get to the gold medal game and lose, and then maybe Popovich can go back to that cut that Ray played brilliantly to lead us into this. I mean – that guy needs to take a look in the mirror. Just roll the ball out and let these guys go. Because now the word is that the players are upset about this San Antonio Spurs offense. It had, you know, that San Antonio Spurs team had a real international feel for a long time when they were doing good. So now all of a sudden it's the offense. They don't like, just roll the ball out and get out of the way. That's what you need to do, Pop. But again, when you get, you know, Lillard, 3 of 10. He made 3 threes, but he turned the ball over 4 times.
Yeah,
right.
Durant.
He fell down at the end. Yeah.
1 of 6 from 3-point distance. I mean, that's the most talented player in the history of the world. Stop. Stop. Shooting 1 of 6 from 3-point distance has nothing to do with playing together. And how about defense? How in the world do you allow 25 points in the third quarter while managing 11? That's where the game was lost. You allow 25, and again, I didn't see the game, but I read stuff. Zach LaVine had another awful day on the defensive side of the ball, from what I was told on Twitter by people who watched and know what's going on. And defense is about what? Effort and trying hard. And the idea that maybe it's not a big deal to the American players to play for the national team, while it is a big deal for these other guys to go back and play for their countries. And again, I get it. Listen, you know, Team USA is going to get every single opponent's absolute A++ effort. They're going to get the best game these guys have ever played, because you want to take down Goliath. You want to be the team that takes them down.
Did you see what our guy Mike DeCourcy wrote yesterday after the loss about how sitting NBA coaches have historically struggled in these situations in international competition? And the numbers really made his argument stronger. So he, with that kind of ammunition, was questioning Pop himself. And I think it's a fair point to make, and it's a fair question to ask at this point.
Well, I'm not arguing that, but you know what Pop does has been very successful in the NBA. And what Pop does is get players to play together. And if they don't like running an offense that doesn't feature them, that's a separate issue than whether he's running the right offense or not. I mean, you know, one of the things that you have to be able to do as a player on an international team is subjugate your own ego and allow somebody else to be the scorer. You've got to, you know, you can't, everybody can't get the ball. You need a blend of players that can do different things. And I am surprised, frankly, that they're not getting better shots for Dame Lillard. He's a guy that I think can really knock down an outside jumper. I'm surprised that Kevin Durant has not been featured more in different ways. He's an offensive machine.
He can make a joke out of scoring. How do you only have ten shots with Kevin Durant?
That's insane. He's a 7-footer with unlimited range, who is always open because he's as tall as he is.
It's just really frustrating to watch yesterday as you saw this unfolding.
It was terrible.
The effort level, it's easy to question from your couch watching on television, but it just didn't seem like there was that urgency that you would expect there to be in the Olympics.
They came back and they took the lead with this big run, and they were up 7.
Yeah.
And it was like they literally stopped playing.
We're done.
Yeah, that was it. And meanwhile, France is breaking their rear ends. And they've got, you know, they got Gobert and they got, you know, Fournier. They got a couple of good players. They got guys we've seen play.
Never surrender.
That's so mean. And they're known to just drop their weapons and run. Come on. That is just mean-spirited. The French, they get a bad rap. They're nice people. And they cook phenomenally.
Oui, oui.
All right. 312-644-6767. We're going back to the war. They let him march right into Paris. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.